often becomes more fierce, more formidable than even before, because we don't expect it. Certainly, the children of Israel had felt that the Amalekites were a defeated foe. Their king had been hacked to pieces, and here they came. Scripture calls on us to deal with our sin like Samuel dealt with Agag, to kill it. There is remaining sin residing in our unredeemed humanness, our flesh, and it has to be killed. It has to be followed up, found, and destroyed. And until we do that, we're never going to enjoy what Paul experienced in his bold confidence about a holy and godly sincere conscience. Look for a moment now at Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, you will notice a marginal reading, for if you have any note in your margin in the New American Standard, the text actually reads, verse 5, "Therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead." But the marginal reading says, "Put to death the members which are upon the earth." Things like immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Kill them. Put them to death. You can't do it partially. You can't do it half-heartedly. You can't just have a remaining Agag and just sort of leave him in your life somewhere. He'll lead an insurrection. You've got to keep going until the task is complete. Sins like Amalekites have a way of escaping the slaughter, breeding, reviving, and launching new and unexpected assaults on our most vulnerable areas. Go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 12 and 13. Verse 12, Paul says, "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." Then in verse 13, "For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." Putting to death the deeds of the body is characteristic of somebody who is living. In other words, it is characteristic of a believer to be killing the deeds of the body.